feels messy when you undress me, never untied.
Hey guys, welcome to the podcast. This is Up in Indie with Kokodinsky, and today I'm interviewing
Annalise.
And she's a, you're third semester, right?
I am.
Okay,
third semester yeah.
At Berkeley with me. How did we meet? Like,
Coco and I actually have followed each other on Instagram, I think, since like pre-Berkeley, like pre-showing up,
a long time ago.
During the acceptance, you know?
Yeah.
But
we had like those awkward like DMs.
Yeah, we have. The second semester, at the very end of the year, we ran into each other on Belvedere.
Yeah.
Like on my way to Harmony, and like we said something.
We were both late and like stressed out.
It was like something where we were like, oh my God, wait, but I know you. And then we were like, how have we not met this whole entire year?
I passed you, and then I like turned around and I was like, wait, you're Annalise, right?
I was like, Coco.
And then we like didn't talk after that.
Yeah, but we said we would make a plan, and now we're here.
Now we're here. Okay, let's start from like the very beginning.
Yes.
So the first question I always ask is, how'd you get started with music? What was like your childhood like with music?
My childhood was music. I've always been music. I've always said, like, it's funny, the question, what are you gonna be when you grow up? Like how everybody asks you that. I never have understood that question, because I was always like, what? Like, what do you mean? Like, I'm gonna sing? And they're like, what do you mean? I'm like, I don't know. But I started singing as soon as I could talk, and then like started taking voice lessons and stuff and singing at church when I was like 4 or 5. Mm-hmm. And then
did you play any other instruments?
I didn't play instruments when I was little.
Okay.
I taught myself piano, and it started in fourth grade. I started taking lessons, hated it, because I was like, I'm not trying to learn Mozart. I was like, I'm trying to freaking sing. I was like, give me some chords so I can bust out some Daniel Caesar over here and I'm fine. Like, I was like, I didn't understand. And so I dropped like 3 different piano teachers. I was like, this is not working. And then I finally just started teaching myself in like 6th grade. And then immediately, like, I think I might have learned 2 songs.
Yeah.
And then I like picked up how chords worked. And then immediately I started writing songs. Like, I was like, okay, now I can do it myself.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, cool.
So you started writing in 6th grade.
Yeah. I started writing 6th, 7th grade-ish.
Mm-hmm. And like, are your parents musical? Sorry, this is like off track. But.
Okay. Yeah, wait. Family? Yeah. Oh, I'm so scattered.
No,
so,
you're good. Me too.
I'm the youngest of 3 daughters.
Okay.
We're all best friends. I love my sisters so much. They're my biggest inspiration.
Yeah.
They are also creative to a large extent. My oldest sister is a visual artist, so she's like illustration painter.
Ooh,
costume,
whoa.
Design crazy woman.
Yeah.
So she went to Rhode Island School of Design, so she's like super serious about that. And then my other sister is a writer and global studies expert, so she's just like the smarty,
whoa,
pants. So like they're super creative,
yeah,
too. So it's
what do your parents do?
Yeah, so that's what I was gonna say. It's in the family.
Okay.
The creativity. My parents are not like artistic though.
Okay.
My mom loves to sing.
Okay.
My mom loves to dance. My dad loves to sing sometimes on occasion, but it's nothing that's performative.
Okay.
Yeah. They always fight as to who gets the credit for like the 3 of us all being non-athletic, solely artistic, like creative people. And they're always like, it's me. And it's like, it's an even game because we have no idea where it came
from. For me, my grandma's like, it's from me.
Yeah.
And we're all like, she's like in a choir.
It's really
like, with
funny
all
to
friends.
See who's like, no, I drew once when I was 5. Like, it was me, guys. Like,
so
the random
funny
aunt. Like, no.
Back to writing. So
yes.
In 6th grade, what was the first song that you wrote?
Oh my God.
Do you like
yes. I don't wanna be. No, that was the second song I wrote. The first one was called Give Me Two.
No, you're
why
good.
Am I forgetting it? I can remember it. Dun, 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 dun. I don't wanna
everybody
be
remembers
the
first song.
Dun, 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 dun. I'd be so much. Oh, it was called If Only.
Okay,
it was
okay.
Called If Only, and it was like, oh, emotional masterpiece. So good. I actually, quick tidbit though. I started writing songs in like 6th grade, right, because I could finally play an instrument.
Uh-huh.
But I was busting out the poetry at 5 years old.
Really?
5 or 6. Wait. Yeah, I was like 6 or 7, I think. Once I could write-ish, I can share one with you. I remember it. I wrote so much poetry. I had this
can
one journal.
It's
horrible. I don't even know.
Please share
okay.
it.
There was a little girl. She had a little curl. And on that hair, there was a little bear. And if you let her be, she will look inside of me. That was my poem. That's the bestseller. I'd perform them. I'd perform
them. You
perform
them?
For my family. Oh, okay. And they were like, that one. And they were like, Annalise, that one, it's getting you places. Like, that's, my dad was recording on his phone. He's like, that's going.
That's going
deep,
somewhere.
Deep for a five-year-old. So, yeah, I had been writing for a while. Yeah. I just really, once I got it, it was like, it wasn't like a learning process or like a trial. Like, I just was like, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And then for me, ever since I started, it's taken me about an hour to finish a song, if anything, tops. Like, like when I first started, I would like sit down with the chords, whatever. But like when it comes to, once I have the chords, putting the lyrics and like the structure together,
yeah,
it just kind of goes. And so like I'm a really fast writer.
Have you ever had writer's block?
I don't really have writer's block because I'm a big believer in connecting like where your mental headspace is with when you write.
Yeah.
And so like I'm not gonna write if I'm super stressed out, and I'm not gonna be like, God, at least like go write a song right now.
Oh, okay.
Because
okay,
then obviously I would probably have writer's block because I'm thinking of 18 other things, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So like I definitely like know that I'm like, okay, this comes from a special place, keep it special.
Yeah.
I'm like, because if I try to like ruin it, then it'll be hard.
Yeah, I feel like when I'm stressed out, yeah, I do get writer's block.
Yeah, because you're thinking of other things. It's like, don't put that pressure on yourself. It's such a special ability to like, and even just process for yourself to like therapeutically like turn something that could be horrible, yeah, a horrible feeling, into something that's beautiful and that you're proud of.
Yeah.
Or to celebrate something in a cool song. Like there's so much opportunity there that like you don't want to ruin that by making it something that is so methodical and like structured.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. How is that with your songwriting classes? Like, do you think that, yeah, they're teaching it too methodical?
No. So that's been something I've been navigating, uh-huh, because once I got to Berkeley, I realized that there was a lot of things that like I don't do properly.
Wait,
like playing the guitar. I'm like, oh, I realized, yeah, I know nothing about what I've been doing on the guitar. Oh, playing piano. Yeah, I do not do it like that. Chords and like the theory and all that stuff that gets thrown, yeah, in your face. Yeah. I was like, okay, so yeah, this is not where like my knowledge lies.
Yeah.
Once I saw that like there were a bunch of people that were so good and didn't know what they were doing so well, I kind of was like, you know what, I'm gonna like not be that. I really like to not know what I'm doing,
mm-hmm,
because the more that I like am like, oh, 2-5-1, I'm like, that's just like, it takes so much away from
too structured.
And some people are like, oh my god, that's so cool to like hear that, and I think that'd be awesome if that was how I naturally thought. But to change that would be so weird and also just unnatural. And it's just like, in my honest self, like, I don't know how to play all these bar chords and cool things on the guitar. But can I move my hand to random strings and play chords that aren't actually chords? Yes, and make them,
yeah,
something that's beautiful. Like, I feel like,
yeah,
in not knowing, I find a lot of things that are cool and weird that then I'll show my band and they're like, what the hell are you playing? Am I,
yeah,
I don't know if I guess where I am.
Yeah, you're like,
word,
put your finger here.
Yeah,
and
they're
here,
like,
I
and I have to like
is,
break it down because, yeah, they're like, Annalise, this is so weird. And I'm like, but then they're like, oh my god, it's awesome. I'm like, okay, cool. So in talking about like classes and stuff, I've kind of shut off the tap. I've separated it from being like, okay,
yeah,
I will learn this.
Yeah,
and I will do the homework. But this is not how I'm going to change and like let,
yeah,
dictate how I write my song. So
do
I think
your, do,
yeah,
your teachers like songwriting teachers,
yeah,
specifically,
yeah,
kind of like talk about lyrics in a way that's too methodical and do not
lyrics? I feel like with lyrics it's really, they just like expose a lot of different tools to add to your toolbox for the lyric writing classes I'm in, because for lyrics, I mean, you can only bring more out of people, but I don't really think there are right or wrong answers,
yeah,
as to what someone can write about or how they can write.
Has
I think
a
it's
teacher
only
ever
like
told you that something was wrong?
No,
okay,
mine,
that's good.
No. I'm just saying that for like my mental space, not really with songwriting classes. That was mostly like with theory and just like other instrumentalists.
Gotcha, yeah.
I'm like, yeah, okay, they know what they're doing more, but like I would rather not.
Gotcha. Yeah, because I don't take any songwriting,
yeah,
classes, so I have no idea. Let's talk,
yeah,
about your last performance.
Ooh.
Because you've been performing like more, right? Yeah. It was two days ago. I couldn't go. I was like,
It's okay.
Yeah. I ran a marathon the next day. So I couldn't be up.
You run that one day when you accidentally said 31 miles? Yeah. It was so funny.
I had seven people chat that and be like, what?
And you want to know what? I definitely read it and I was like, wow. And then I just kept going because I didn't even think. I'm like, that's a really long time.
No, for reference, I ran 13 miles to prep for the marathon that I was running. And on my story, I accidentally mistyped and I said 31
and
miles.
And I fully saw that and I was like, yes. Coco is a runner. She just ran 31 miles. Wow.
Anyway, so you're...
My performance that you were running 31 miles. I was performing. We got to perform twice this past chunk of time of being back in Boston at the warehouse.
Who's your band?
My band is the best ever
in
the whole world. My little quartet, we're super, super tight. It's one of my best friends, Guy Malka, is on bass. We've got Aiden O'Reilly, and he is on freaking guitar. He's awesome. And then Colin Curcio is our drummer. And we just we got together last spring, because when I first got to Berkeley, I even though I'm an extrovert, I surprisingly took a very observational role, because I just kind of I didn't want to hop in and be bam bam bam, because I mean I was doing enough on socials, I'm here I'm releasing stuff, I'm here, but I just as for gigging especially and performing, I kind of just wanted to watch what people did first before I was you be in my band let's play. I really wanted, I saw that I was okay, this is special and important, and you need to have good people on your team. And I'm so glad that I did that, because you have to have
people
that
you
trust
that
and that you love and that you care about with, because I mean, especially 15 minutes before showtime, you're I'm trusting that we are gonna go up and we're all gonna make each other sound and look good, there's a lot of vulnerability there, and especially in being an artist and having to be play my song this way, you just have to find the right people that understand and see the vision and support the vision and then execute it, you know?
Yeah, totally.
And so I met them last semester.
That's fun. That's fun. Yeah. What songs you have released? What was your let's start from the beginning. What was your first release?
Oh god, my first release was this song called Sidewalk. Little pop R&B retro moment. It was sweet. It's a sweet song. It got a cute little music video. It's this little film camera and everything. But definitely have grown my sound and grown further into what I am and what I want to be.
Where was that first song produced? At home?
That was at home in New Hampshire. I'm from New Hampshire, by the way. I never said that.
Yeah, I don't think. Yeah. I don't
New
think
England,
I knew that.
New England gal at heart. Okay. Yeah. I live on the coast of New Hampshire, so right by the beach, just an hour up from Boston.
Gotcha.
But I recorded that at home. It was 2020, so I was 15.
So was it during COVID?
It was during this beginning of COVID, because COVID happened, and I was okay, I have all these songs. Yeah. I guess I can do anything.
Is that kind of when you dove into music and realized you wanted?
No, I mean, I had been on the Instagram videos and YouTube and all that stuff for all of high school and middle school and stuff. But I definitely started, it felt more attainable once COVID hit, because everybody was online. So then it was releasing music wasn't this thing that it was and that's really right after the industry really started to change with the upbringing of TikTok and things like that, where it was it wasn't 10, 15 years ago, it wasn't a thing that you could release a song on your own as a 15-year-old girl during a pandemic. You couldn't, you know? Yeah. And so it really that was me being at home and also growing into realizing that I was wait, I can do this if I want to. I don't need a label behind me. I don't need to live in LA or whatever. I can be in New Hampshire in my room.
And did you always know about Berkeley?
I did. I knew, but it was really when I started thinking about college in high school that I was oh, okay, these are the colleges. Oh, wow. Berkeley.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
I was you know what I mean? I knew people, because I did theater growing up, so I knew people who had gone to BoCo and Berkeley and things like that, and had gone to school in Boston for music. But I'm just okay, they're in Boston for music. Yeah. But once I really put a definition to it when I was looking into where I wanted to go, I was okay, this is awesome. Gotcha. This is where yeah. I should be going. But yeah, so my first release was that in 2020. But
and
then,
you produce it yourself?
I produced it with this mentor of mine, Doug Halsetfeld. We did a lot of my first things together. And then we worked together on a 5-track EP right before I went to school in August of 2022.
Uh-huh.
Oshibana. That one is really, it really is sweet. Like, I definitely hold that near and dear to my heart because the experience one was so awesome to record with him. And that was the first time, my first few, I had experiences of going to studios with like other people to record the vocals, and then like we would do them, and it was always like bouncing through emails back and forth and like, oh, what do you think? And I would listen. There's so much to at least knowing how to do it on your own, I think, and like at least being able to speak up for yourself and dictate what you want to happen, because like I especially am someone that like I do think of everything from the melody to the rhythm to the production to the music video to everything is in my head already when I write a song. So I'm like, I love to collaborate with people, but it has to be still within the vision that I have in my head. I see it. So I'm like, it has to be that. And I hear it. So he was really good at that. But for the EP, I guess what I'm getting towards is that those first few songs, we had to bounce it a lot and do all these things. And for the EP, I told him, I was like, I want to be there for everything we do.
That's
so
cool.
Anytime you work on this, I was like, don't work on it without me. Like, I will be there, because at that point I didn't really know how to use Logic. I didn't.
Did you learn a ton from him?
I literally just got to sit there and it started by watching, but then I could record my own vocals and demos and stuff at that point, but not like anything towards producing.
Yeah.
And so once I was sitting there with him, I like was getting the hang of it, and then I pretty much pushed all the buttons and did a lot of the things and played all the instruments and stuff, but like we at least got to do it together, and I was like there. So that was like such a huge moment for my understanding of like Logic and producing and how things come together.
Mm-hmm.
But I also loved it because he and I just were very much so on the same page of I'm not a big, I love a studio and I love all the fancy buttons, but I'm a bedroom girl till I die. Like I love that we recorded that whole EP in an open like church because he had a connection to the church and we could just like stay in there all day.
That's it was so
like
cool.
And so like we would just like go there after, I would go like every day after school,
uh-huh.
and like we would just meet and record into the nighttime. And
so they had like a good soundproof room that like,
no, so that's what I'm saying. We were literally on the stage of an open like church.
Oh wow.
That, so it was like a little bit more carpeted, so it wasn't as like acoustic like a big church. Okay. But it's like a cute little wooden church that we would just go in and like sit on the floor and record bass lines and record vocals. Like I didn't have the towel thing, like nothing.
Oh wow.
And I just like fully, that was cool because it just further solidified my belief in the importance of that and just like that you can do it if it sounds good in your ears. Leading into my next singles that I was to produce on my own, like Half Full and Messy. Half Full, I recorded at the 150 practice rooms on one of my floors. And there, literally, you can hear it. There's a piano in the background of all of the takes that I took. Because that song, Half Full, actually started off as a demo.
Yeah.
I had, like, had this crazy conversation with a close friend of mine, and I, like, wrote this song, and I was, like, it was one of the fastest songs I had ever written, and I just like needed to record it immediately. And so I went into a practice room and I didn't care that there was a piano. I was like, I just need to like get this down.
Yeah.
And it ended up being the version that I ended up releasing.
Oh wow.
But there's if you can literally hear at the beginning and the end of the song, there's a piano, but it actually sounded like so cool, and it added so much to me that it was like it fell into and brought you back out of the song.
Was it in the same key?
It sounded good.
Or it's
so,
just okay. It's
it sounded
just somewhere,
good to me. Like, it had to have been. It was like a little bit darker, but it was cool. It was really weird. That's a lot of my things with recording. It's like by chance and like that sounds awesome.
Yeah.
How did that happen? I don't know.
Is your latest release Messy?
Yeah, my latest release is Messy. That I released that in July of 2023. Yeah.
It actually, you actually popped up on my For You page. So that's
how
I found the song. I
this
like,
summer, you mean?
Like, yeah, right. This summer.
Yeah, so that was the thing with Messy. Messy was, it was just a little ditty I wrote last year, I think, during the school year. And I loved it, but it definitely was, like, it was one of those freestyles that for me was, like, lyrically so deep and weird. And, like, I couldn't pinpoint, like, it wasn't like I wrote down and I wrote about this person that upset me. Like, I was very open and just like, I love to do that a lot, of just writing about like what's on my brain. And that's what freestyles bring out, because you're somehow my brain connected these dots, but it just like came out of my mouth. So I don't know. So that one was like, that whole first half of it was pretty much a freestyle. I have it like on my phone, the recording, but I loved it. And I would put it on like TikTok sometimes, like in a little live performance or whatever, as one does. But every time I would post it on TikTok, like all my other ones would be like a few hundred, because you know you're trying to break that freaking TikTok algorithm.
So,
and then
angry.
That one would be like 1400. I'm like, what? I'm like, what is, I'm like, it, I don't even know what the song is like about, but I'm like, it obviously was special and like had like depth to it, but I just didn't, like every time I was like, oh my god, like people loved it. And I learned. And so then over the summer I started posting the demo on TikTok, and I like would lip sync it, and one like went off, and like then it started like this whole messy like train that like for 2 months at least I was like bumping messy on TikTok, and people like just were adding on to the train. Like it was awesome. It was such a cool experience, because like for me TikTok has always kind of been a frustration, as it has been for most people, because it is a really confusing app. And for one, it's just frustrating in general that we have to use an app. Like when you're a musician, you're like, I just want to like play my music, like why
it's
do
like
I
a
have
whole
to
love and hate. Like because you love that it gives you the chance to like get it to people, but at the same time you're like, really? Like,
and that's the thing, that like at first it's like a frustration of like, oh, so now to be an artist I have to be a model, I have to be an influencer, I have to be an advocate for all these different things. I can't just post a song and have that be it. No, it's about the angle, it's about my what I'm wearing, all these things. You know, which at first felt very negative, but once like, it sounds so corny, but once like you actually gain attention on there, like people comment really special things. And like I was reading comments, and I like, even if it was like a TikTok that I posted that like got like a few hundred views, whatever many likes, and someone was like, this just like made me cry in the break room at work, I was like, oh my god, I'm so glad I made you cry in the break. Like, it's something.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, something,
like, I don't want you to cry,
like,
but that,
but like that is huge. Yeah. I'm like, something like that doesn't happen on the other apps. That doesn't happen on Instagram and stuff. And you don't get to hear that feedback on Spotify.
Everyone's so like brutally honest.
So it's like everybody, I feel like it's just this really vulnerable community where everybody just feels really open and honest.
Yeah,
that, like,
yeah.
Once that song like was resonating with people, it like just really, really did. And I was like, I didn't really get it. But I think a part of why it resonated with people was because it was so open, because it wasn't about my ex-boyfriend that I wrote about specifically and included the name of whatever. Like, it was so open for interpretation that it could have been about your relationship with your mother, or it could have been about your ex-boyfriend, or it could have been about how you've never been able to fully see yourself.
Yeah.
And like, I just like fully really wanted to embrace that and releasing it, and it ended up doing really well. And
so were you not planning on releasing it before?
Yeah, I mean, I had it like up on the roster, but it was not up next in my mind.
Wait, let's talk about your little series that you're doing on Instagram Reels. Is it on TikTok too?
Yes.
Okay.
It's also on TikTok and YouTube Shorts. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm still like in the organizing phases of everything, because everything is. But one of many, it's actually this whole idea that I've had. When I first moved here, I got my little apartment with two of my best friends, and my room didn't have like any decor on the walls. I was like, I didn't know what to put up, because I'm already pretty much like, ooh, white wall, perfect. Like, I like the little minimalist stuff, but I wanted something. And so I was like, oh, like, why don't I like write out my favorite songs that I have right now? So like, I was like, I'll make a little list, and so then I can add like when I write another one like on paper. That's cute, because I live by my notes app. So I was like, let me like make this actually like on paper. And so then I like started writing them out, and like I went all the way back to like when I like first started really making songs that still like match my sound now and stuff, and like favorite ones of all time, and just went through until present day. And I had written a song that morning, and with the song that morning, my favorites, ones that I would actually do something with, I had exactly 100, and I was like, oh shit. I was like this. So at first I was like, oh my god, this is awesome. And then I was like, oh my god, it's like I have 100 songs. So what am I gonna do? Because I love all of them, and like all of them are so cool and different, and
obviously because
I wrote them. So I'm like, I love, there's a place in my heart for each of them. And so then that kind of just sparked the idea of like, okay, first of all, I need to start doing something
on social media
and social media obviously.
Uh-huh.
But then it kind of was the perfect glue for everything, because I mean, I wanted to be posting on social media consistently, but I'm super busy, and I wanted to be showing these songs, and all these little pieces kind of fit in a place that made One of Many what it is. So really the idea is that I'm trying to get these songs at least out there, because there are so many songs that I'm not going to be able to produce and release all of them, at least not right now. And yeah, so there are songs that I would still want to be heard, even if it's not something I would follow through with an EP or an album or something, or yeah, a single yeah. release. And so I'm just making all these little demo ditty versions of them to then post in this little clip online, and then I post it, and it's called One of Many.
It's
because
so
there are
cute.
One of
I love
many.
It. Yeah, so
there's
many.
So many. And so the idea is really a song a day, a few songs a week kind of thing. I mean,
yeah,
I'm loose with like consistency when it comes to social media and stuff, because I think like if you kill yourself to like make it dun, 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 then like then it's not gonna be healthy. So
yeah,
like, if
yeah,
I had
yeah.
a crazy weekend, I'm like, okay, then it's gonna slack. I'm the only person that it's affecting right now. Luckily
yeah.
it's not paying my bills yet. So
yeah,
like,
yeah.
I can do that, and I'm very grateful and want to make a point to do that for myself. But yeah, it's really cool, and it's going to be leading to cooler things.
Yeah.
So that's what I'll say now.
That's exciting.
That,
okay.
that One of Many is important.
Who's your biggest inspiration?
Oh, I've said it and I'll say it again. Know it here. Dijon is my all-time favorite artist. He's the only person I've ever used the word favorite with. It
really?
Started my other favorites of mine have been like Daniel Caesar, Omar Apollo.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely Adrian Lenker, like other artists such as her such a big influence in my songwriting growing up.
Mm-hmm.
But Dijon is someone that I like will blatantly study. Like I think
yeah.
that he have you listened to him?
Not a ton, but yeah, I know
yeah,
who he
like
is.
You,
yeah.
yeah, you know uh-huh. of him.
Yes.
And he's just I got the pleasure of seeing him live this summer, and
really?
I literally was like sobbing. I was like, oh,
what was
God.
Your favorite concert but, live that you've seen?
Oh,
was it his?
Yeah. Well
okay,
that
okay.
day was the Reset series of him, Claro, and Boy Genius. It was the best day of my life. So
yeah.
that was, so I'll just say that was like insane. But
yeah,
so Dijon, I think, brings something new to the table that no one has brought. So that's why I'm just like enamored by him. But I also see so much of myself
yeah.
in just his songwriting and like the weight that his songs hold. There's so much meaning, and it doesn't
mm-hmm.
have to be because it's a groove song or because it's
mm-hmm.
a ballad or all that stuff. Like, and I just really believe in that of
yeah.
being like, the song is going to be what it is.
Yeah.
And
do you
embrace
usually,
that. You
yeah.
know?
I know you kind of yeah. like said, you kind of just like write whatever you're
yeah.
thinking. Is it usually some, like, does it turn into something that actually happened in your life, or is it usually just kind of what
there,
you come up with?
There's a balance. There's definitely a mix of the two.
Mm-hmm. What were some
yeah.
of your songs that you wrote about? What were they about?
Oh, Mess So Messy was definitely
mm-hmm.
very like open freestyle. I just like wrote it, and
yeah,
that
yeah.
was more
mm-hmm.
so like I tend to lean into the categories of like love, but love also meaning just like feelings for people, you
yeah,
know what I mean, like
yeah.
in a friendship way, in a admiring way, in a romantic way, like all of those things that fall under the meaning of feeling love for somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But I oftentimes write about the romantic love because,
yeah.
of course,
yeah.
I'm a big emotional
it
person.
It's hard, yeah.
I'm so emotional. I'm such a sensitive gal that I'm like, oh, I love to talk about that stuff. But that I really like talking about, like, the connection and the relationships
yeah.
between people, whether it be, like, me and a friend or me
yeah.
and myself and, like, things like that. And definitely existentialism, like, just, like, I think so much about the world and
mm-hmm.
about how it works in the context of me and
yeah,
like
yeah.
what I get to witness and then experience and then not experience, like
yeah.
all of that. I think that's a huge part of things that I write about.
What's your favorite like lyrical line that you've written? Do you like have one in your brain?
Oh my gosh, I really like, okay, I'll say this one. I really love Always, because it's spelt A-L-L-W-A-Y-S.
Uh-huh.
So it's,
do you have like a certain line that
it's saying? So in that song, the
uh-huh.
hook of it is I love you always. And so instead of saying like, oh, I love you forever as
mm-hmm.
in always, it's more like I love you in always. Like always, I love you.
Gotcha.
Everything about you,
okay.
I absolutely love
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I actually have like, I wrote that when I felt that way about
yeah.
someone. And that
mm-hmm.
that is just like, it was such a cool feeling to be able to say that, because I had been in love before, but whatever, and having that one where it's like I am in love with you, it every single way. Every single part. Like, every single inch, everything that you've said, I love all of it. Always, I love you. Which is that one I think is super cool.
How do you, like, stay organized with everything? Someone asked me this, and I feel like it's a good question.
That is, because we're all just, like, we're all surviving. That's so true. How do I organize? So, yeah, I do everything on my own, so I don't, like, have a manager or anything, but that's, like, by choice at this point. Until I wish, but, like, especially, like, I know Berkeley has a lot of those people, and, like, I definitely want to find my team and build them along the way, but I'm not going to force anything that isn't, like, coming natural.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, I think that...
You said you write in your notes app.
Yes, my... I was going to say. My notes app is my, like...
saving grace.
My saving grace. That's everything to me. Yeah. So I even just do... Sometimes I have to write things down on paper so then I can cross them out on paper or, like, whatever. But normally I write on my notes app and I just write notes. I normally title them all the things in my head right now and then I will just, like, go down the list. Yeah. But I also will say my reminders app. My reminders app. Have you used your reminders app?
I hate reminders app. I don't.
You're not using it right. You're not
using it right. No, I don't think I'm using it right.
Because mine doesn't remind me anything.
No.
I just use it as lists.
Okay.
Because they have different lists and you can put different things under it.
See, I make lists on the notes app. See, so, like, you know how you can, like, check them off, how they're the little, like, dots? Yes,
look at this. So it's the same thing. This doesn't remind me anything. You can make a reminder. The check marks. It's perfect. It's exactly what you need. Maybe and you I can connect it to your calendar and everything.
So that you can connect it?
I think you can.
Okay, I'm going to start doing that. Because look at, like, my calendar is like everything is in there.
Oh, I use my calendar. I use all of the apps. Yeah. Notes, calendar, reminders. Yeah,
yeah. Some people.
Messages, everything.
I have a friend who tried to use Notion. Have you heard of that?
No. Last year I went through.
It's so fucking difficult.
I went through all of the different notes and to-do lists. And I was like. Screw this. Mm-mm. I don't need, like, a flower notification telling me, like, how horrible my day is about to be and all the things I have to do. I'm like, no. Like,
for my internship, we had to use Notion and Slack, and I could not for the life Slack of me figure out
Slack
Notion.
Slack is what we use at work. That's hard. Slack is hard. Yeah, no.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, okay. But definitely, I definitely write everything down. I need to, like, get my brains, my ideas on paper and everything like that. Yeah.
Okay, so we're running down on time soon.
Okay.
But, so one of my questions is, who should I interview next?
Who should you interview next?
I want to do, like, a little popcorn thing. So, like, Zessie had me do Lauren Jean. So that's going to come out.
Okay, I'm going to say somebody. And this person is so awesome.
Okay.
And I am a fan of them. And they are a freshman. Listen to this.
Okay.
They're a freaking freshman. He's from South Africa. His name is Zwanaka.
Okay.
And he has beautiful music released. And he's incredible artist-wise, visually. Like, everything. His whole brand, he's got it.
Uh-huh.
And I am really excited to see him, like, just getting more integrated into the Berkeley scene. We're friends. Like, we hung out and stuff. And, I'm actually seeing him tonight. So I'll give him a heads up.
Yeah, give me his info.
Really, really kind. And I think... the person I've connected with most here, as in, like, oh, we're on the same pages of what we're doing. Mm-hmm. Like, and we kind of just talk, we call each other our twins because we, like, literally are the same way and, like, oh, releasing music and then also making visuals and music videos and having the whole branded thing as opposed to, like, performing all the time and stuff.
When you need a break from music, what are you doing?
Oh, this is a big question. I love to get a good sweet treat. Like, if I can, like, meet up with somebody and go get a sweet treat, changes my day.
We gotta
changes
get a my sweet
day.
Treat.
Oh, wait. Yeah, we're gonna get a sweet treat. Wait, I literally have mine. This
okay,
is mine.
Okay, what is it?
If I need a brain break,
yeah,
I literally go thrifting. And this is...
That's a good one. That's a good
thrifting
one.
Thrifting is, for me, I started when I was literally in sixth grade, which was for us, like, that was, like... that was pre-thrifting was, like, the thing.
Yeah.
Like, I had in New Hampshire, there are, like, these big donation centers. And I'm not going to be that girl that's saying that. But I'm just saying, I started young. And I would, like, go and I would come back with, like, a trash bag full of things. And I was like, this is awesome. And there were some rough finds in those ages. But, like, I am rough outfits. Like, we're not going to talk about it. But I've come to the point where, like, thrifting is, like, it's the only thing that fully shuts off my brain. I literally just put things in my cart to then sift through and after be like, yeah, Annalise, good job. You found that shirt. That's awesome. And like, then I'll put it back. Or like, yeah, I started at the one in Roxbury because there's always cool people there that I go to the Goodwill. Oh, I shouldn't even say this because then people are going to find me. But that's okay. Or they're going to take all the clothes. But the Goodwill in Roxbury is really, really good. But that one, I go and then if I find things and I'm not going to buy them, then I just, because I have to stop buying them because I just like to go as a hobby, I just give them to people that are there. I'm like, hey, these shoes would look good on you.
Really?
Yeah, I do. I saw a girl the other day. I did it to her and then she came into my office at Berkeley and I was like, oh my God, I literally gave you those shoes the other day. And she's like, oh my God, you go here? I was like, it was so
cute.
That's
so funny.
But yeah, I literally love to just like, just shut off because I love fashion. I love clothes, but yeah. I love just the whole process of looking for things thrifting because
yeah.
it's just so mind numbing. It's so
yeah,
great.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah,
thank you for coming in and talking. I'm running out of time. I have to
oh
go to
gosh.
A rehearsal soon.
Oh my God, okay, well,
we
have
to go all the way to Fordham Road. So
that
annoying.
Is horrible. Like, yeah. I hope you're taking an Uber. That would be nice.
Luckily
yeah.
Luli has a car.
Okay.
Yeah, she's
oh my,
my guitarist.
That's
yeah.
awesome. Okay, well, get to your rehearsal.
So,
but thank you so much for having me. This is seriously such a pleasure.
Yeah, that was
you.
That was really fun. Thank you for listening. This was Annalise, and hopefully you can give her a listen on Spotify and all the other streaming platforms. Her latest release is...
Messy.
Yes, Messy.
It feels messy when you undress me, never untie.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Of course.
Yay.
I feel ugly when you say you love me. Honestly.